Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, Friday edition, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We appreciate all of you and hope you are ready to roll in for a big weekend. I don't know if Buck's got the same level of enthusiasm that I have on this Friday. We're going to find out quickly. But school is back in session, at least for my kids, Buck. We had the first football game that had a full crowd since all the way back to February of 2020 in the NFL or in college football. And I'm going to tell you what I did this morning, Buck. I walked my kids to school. I've got a fifth grader and a first grader. There were no masks in the entire school. Parents were allowed to enter. It's public school. Parents were allowed to enter the school. We were allowed to go into the classroom, something that we were not able to do all of last year. And we were able to shake the hands of the teachers that are teaching our kids, put them down at the desks, and see all their other classmates and all the other parents who were inside of the school. I realize this is not going to be happening everywhere, but I left in such a good mood. And let me tell you why I think this is important, Buck. Because when this starts to happen, it gets harder and harder for the imbeciles out there, the Corona Bros, as I have called them, to be able to control our lives everywhere. Because the best thing you can do is get back to normalcy and show people how wild their behavior is by not behaving in a normal fashion. Now, I know we're talking about vaccine passports where you live, Buck, and we're talking about going into classrooms and shaking hands with teachers where I am. I'm not sure there's ever been a larger divide in America than what's going on right now in some places, but I'm optimistic that at least in places like where I am living right now, people are saying, we're over it. You're not going to dictate to us any longer. We're back to normal, which is the ultimate revenge. Am I crazy for being super optimistic about the way my day started off?
No, I've been telling you for a while. I've been telling everybody listening that the numbers are going to go down in August, into the end of August, and there'll be people will start to calm down again, right? That we were really at, I think, peak Delta panic about a week ago. Yeah. And now I think we're already feeling like that's starting to recede because the numbers are also going to reflect that. If you look and see what happened last summer, sure enough, there was a period, and I know we had that long talk with Alex Berenson yesterday, there was a period where it seemed like the Sun Belt was getting hit really badly. That was what everybody was so focused on. And then after a period of time, it went down and, you know, this is just the viruses, right? As for the optimism, I mean, I'm totally in favor of people trying to return to normalcy tomorrow. Now, not even tomorrow, now. let's be normal now, this second. But as for whether that's really happening, I mean, you're talking about where you are in Tennessee, but didn't the Tennessee school district that covers Nashville downtown just decide that kids are going to be masked?
Yes.
So you happen to be in a nice place where freedom still
rings.
Exists, Clay, but even in the great state of Tennessee, and I know we have Senator Marsha Blackburn joining us later on in the show, I would assume that Nashville is probably the largest school district, right? And that seems like a fair guess in terms of number of students.
Nashville and Memphis, I think, are the only two school districts, by the way, to my understanding, in the state so far that are requiring masks. But yes, those are the two biggest that are in the state.
And I also think that there's this Biden administration effort right now to try to see what they can get away with, both through coercing the private sector and also exceeding their authority at the federal level. I mean, let's remember, and by the way, I hope everyone has a great weekend coming up. And we're all very optimistic here on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show about life. We are happy warriors. That all said, you got to see what they're doing here. If they're willing to have the CDC act as a fourth branch of government to tell you that you can't even rent out your home, that seems to, or rather, you can't rent your home properly and not evict somebody. That seems to be an indicator that they're willing to do even more overreach based on the panic. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm forcing people to ask me to mask up. And I will tell you, I've been told
more so
about five times this week. Can you, put a mask on, please? Put a mask on, please. Five times in the last week. So, I mean, I practice what I preach.
Going into bars and restaurants. Yep. That's what's been happening.
Cars, getting into taxis. You know, in New York, they have a separation. They have usually a big plexiglass separation between the driver and not enough now. They want you to mask up. So I'm seeing there are signs of progress and there are signs of enduring madness. And we just have to make sure that the progress starts to really outweigh the madness or else this is going to drag on for a very long time. But I'm psyched that you got to have a full football stadium. That's exciting.
Well, yeah, the full football stadium for the start of the NFL season. For people who don't know, the NFL preseason is the shadow season for the NFL. By the way, a lot of you play fantasy football. I know Rush was a big fantasy football fan, too. Don't draft until the preseason is over because you have no idea who might get injured. But you had two of the iconic NFL franchises, the Steelers and the Cowboys, playing in the Hall of Fame game. And it really was the first time they've had a full stadium in the NFL or in college since February of 2020, when it seems like forever ago, the Chiefs played against the 49ers. So that season now, there'll be football, Buck, every week between now and February. Now, the other thing we were talking about off the air, and this is not as positive, but I was talking about the difference between the experience that kids are going to have in school. And you looked at, you got some data, I think it was out of Newark, right? Which is just, there's all this talk, and I'm going to let you hit the data, but my wife is a guidance counselor before we had our third kid and chaos kind of hit in our house. But this has been a big deal for her, and we've had this discussion a lot in the House, that the Democrats claim that they are the party of equity and inclusion and that they want to make sure that everybody has an even playing field. And their response to COVID as it pertains to kids that are at home and might not have Wi-Fi, that may not have parents that can help them get online, may not have laptops, may not have access to the internet, their response to COVID has ensured, by these kids not being able to be in school, has ensured that the poorest and the least advantaged kids among us are going to fall further and further behind compared to the advantaged kids. And it's as if when you, Randy Weingarten and all these Teachers Association union people, they won't even address this, but the numbers, again, we try to look at data, Buck, right? On this show, we try to share data. The data is terrifying for anyone who believes in equal opportunity of education.
So this is from Chalkbeat in Newark. Just 9% of students met math standards this spring, according to the latest data. And when you start to look at what the comparisons are here, when you start to get a sense of how it lines up to pre-pandemic versus now. Now, keep in mind, Newark is a largely, it's a majority-minority district for in terms of schools. It's more minorities than there are non-minorities in the school districts there and or the public school system. 2019, third grade math, 35% proficiency. Now, let's keep in mind, that's not very good, but it's 35%. As of 2021, Clay, 10%. Third grade reading, 28%. As of that was in 2019. And in 2021, 14%. Cut in half. Eighth grade math, 2019, 25% proficiency. 2021, 12% efficient. Again, cut in half. And then this was the biggest gap. Eighth grade reading. In 2019, 44% of students who took the New Jersey Student Learning Assessment in 2019, 44% were proficient in eighth grade reading. In 2021, Clay, 12%. So a complete fall off the cliff, loss of what feels like, you know, years of learning because of just the way it's going to hold them back for a long period of time after this. How do they catch up? Remember, it's about a gap. Their peers in parochial and private schools were going to school normally.
And some good public schools.
And some
right?
good public I mean, schools stayed open. But the public school unions are very powerful Democrat constituencies, so they weren't going to be held to account for this. Somehow, it was safe to expect that the grocery store clerks in my neighborhood and the people who work at the CVS or the Duane Reade,
somehow it
was normal to expect that they would show up for work, but it was not to be expected that teachers could go in and be around small children who, as we know, not only are quite safe themselves from the disease, but are very unlikely to spread it to adults in the first place. This is a scandal. The data always suggested that they never should have shut down schools. They shut down schools because they could get away with it politically and because they wanted to. And this is one of those areas where people like me and you who were saying this is madness.
Never. Yes.
Back in the August 2020 timeframe, we're being told, oh, you don't care about the people who are on the front lines and teachers are frontline workers and all this stuff. And it was just hysteria. And it was people picking preferred constituencies and saying they can have special privileges, but the rest of us have to live by a different set of rules that all have to do with what's powerful within the Democrat Party. It's disgusting, though. These kids are suffering, Clay. How do you catch up? What do we think? The public school system is troubled enough in Newark. Now they're going to get really excellent. Plus, they're going to be masking kids up.
Yeah. And to me, this is what should be one of the main stories for the past year in terms of its long range impact for kids. And Buck, to your point about shutting down, remember 15 days to stop the spread or whatever the heck it was. You always fight the battles of future wars, as you well know, as a military history guy, too, based on the technology of the past war. What's so frustrating and what so few people will even acknowledge now is the decision to shut down schools was based on 100 years ago what happened with the flu, when the flu actually in 1918-19 presented a substantial risk to kids in a way that COVID never did. And so it was a failed process, and I think we're going to be unfortunately dealing with the fallout from this for generations to come.
And you can even see with the way that Democrat officials are talking about school reopen and who's to blame here. And they have learned no lessons. I mean, we can talk about what Education Secretary Cardona was saying to singling out Florida as if they're the problem.
We need to talk about that.
We'll get into it. Here's a testimonial from Diana in Texas about how much Relief Factor has helped her. I had stopped exercising because of pain. After 1 month on Relief Factor, I could move around with relative ease and to start exercising again. Since taking Relief Factor, I've been able to start working out again. I can now lift both my arms over my head, even with 5-pound weights. I know for sure that Relief Factor has helped my family because my mom and dad are taking it, Clay. I know it's helped your family, too.
Yeah, my wife's all on Relief Factor. She works out harder than almost anybody I know, and it helps alleviate her post-workout pain. It's important you should know Relief Factor, 100% drug-free product, which addresses joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder pain. Created by doctors based on scientific research, it helps your body reduce pain and inflammation associated with aging, exercise, and everyday living. Relief Factor goes right to the source of inflammation. Hundreds of thousands of people have ordered Relief Factor, and about 70% of them will go on to order more. You can join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to get the 1995 3-week quick start developed for you. ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor. Feel the difference.
Still making the complex understandable. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton break it down on the EIB Network.
Don't be the reason why schools are interrupted. Our kids have suffered enough. Let's do what we know works. Let's do what we know works across the country. We shouldn't get politics doesn't have a role in this. Educators know what to do. We did it last year. So I have calls out to those states. But at the end of the day, I want to work with Texas. I want to work with Florida. I want to make sure those students have access to in-person learning.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. That was the Education Secretary Cardona talking about DeSantis and Abbott. Of course, now a big part of the Democrat push is to make it seem like Texas and Florida are the big, bad COVID super spreader states where all the terrible things have happened. Meanwhile, Florida for deaths per 100,000 residents is about 25 in the country, which given that it's a country, it's a state that never shut down is pretty interesting. But also the pretense here, Clay, continues to be that the people that shut down the schools are now the people who are working so hard to keep them open. If it wasn't for lunatic Democrat teachers unions who knew they could throw their weight around, I mean, Randy Weingarten and some of the other teachers union heads were meeting with the Biden administration. And then the Biden administration, this is in the advance of the 2020 school year, the Biden administration was pretending that this was just the science. Well, you're actually meeting with the teachers unions to see you know, what kind of thuggery they are willing to use to demand that everybody gets paid their full salary to sit at home for a year. That's what
not
actually
only get
happened.
Their full salary, get supplements, even though you sat at home for the year, didn't do your job, and then we all give this huge COVID stimulus bill, which I think the data is all reflecting is completely unnecessary, all that $1.9 trillion or whatever it was, and a lot of these different teachers who refused to go to work got paid more to not work. It is, I think, the biggest public policy failure. I mean, COVID in general is, but schools not being open is the biggest public policy failure of most of our lives. I mean, it truly is. Because you think all the different things that come from school not being open, Buck, think about it. Women's unemployment was the highest in 30 years because women bear the brunt of childcare. You had kids obviously not getting their education. You had places not able to hire and work their normal employees because of all this. It all spirals into a total mess.
Yeah, and it didn't have to happen. I mean, there was no real justification for it other than the people that were making the decisions wanted to keep the people who didn't want to go in and do their jobs happy. I mean, I've been going into an office to tape TV for almost a year now. I mean, there's so many people that have had to go in and do their jobs. There was no choice for them to stay at home the whole time. And yet, the funniest or the most appalling, depending on how you look at it, situation is that now the people that shut everything down are like, well, come on, do everything we say, mask up, or else you will be the reason why the school's closing down. But here's Governor Ron DeSantis. They hate him because he does like freedom, talking about how it's going to be up to parents whether their kids wear masks or not.
In Florida, though, we think it's really important that parents make decisions about whether kids go to school with masks or not. So if certain parents feel that they want their kids doing that, we're not going to prevent that. We have a lot of parents, including me, who doesn't think that's healthy for our kids to be wearing masks all day. And I know people like Joe Biden think the government should force kindergartners to sit there under these masks for 6, 7, 8 hours a day. I could just tell you, Laura, in Florida last year in our school districts, we had some that had mask requirements, others that didn't. The ones that didn't, those counties had lower per capita cases than the ones that did. And so it's not proven to really impact viral transmission in schools. And so that's why I think it should be the parents' decision and it shouldn't be mandated by the government.
I mean, how do they answer that, Clay? He says that the school
freedom,
districts without the mask
choice.
Mandates were doing better than the school districts with the mandates for masks. So I thought that's what we call data. I thought that's how we're supposed to make these decisions. Apparently,
that's 100% what we're supposed to do. And that's why I think DeSantis drives Democrats crazy, because all of his choices are not shoot from the hip. They're not virtue signaling. They're not cosmetic theater. Look at what the data reflects. And the other thing we should mention, we kind of hinted at it a little bit, but the fact that Florida has their surge right now is what typically happens because of air conditioning, right? Anybody who knows Florida, it gets super hot. People go indoors. That's why they go up in the virus right now. Other places go up later. Let's talk about cancel culture on social media sites and what you can do about it. The left wants to silence and boycott any voices they don't agree with. Twitter and Facebook, supposed to be open platforms. They don't do it anymore. Same thing. Everybody has turned into the op-ed page of the New York Times. How about canceling them instead? Now you could just deactivate all your social media accounts, but that would be giving the left just what they want. How about use ExpressVPN like I do? When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. Easy to use, too. Time to say no to censorship. Take back your online privacy at ExpressVPN.com/Clay and Buck. By visiting my special link, you get 3 months ExpressVPN for free. ExpressVPN.com/Clay and Buck. ExpressVPN.com/Clay and Buck.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
Welcome back in. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us on what is a fantastic Friday across much of the country. I am Clay Travis. He is Buck Sexton. You are listening to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We appreciate all of you fighting the battles for truth, justice, sanity, and the American way every single day with us. Encourage you, whether you're on one of those 400 stations plus out there, whether you're listening on the podcast, share some clips you like with your friends. We had and have had, I was in New York with Buck in the studio the past several days. I mean, our conversation yesterday that we had with Alex Berenson, I don't know about you, Buck, but that's the kind of conversation that doesn't exist anywhere else in the media.
I was at
like,
Fox.
Literally nowhere else.
I was at Fox last night doing Gutfeld's show, and a few Fox people, both on and off air, came up to me and were like, the Berenson interview was really good. So that's also, yeah. That always is helpful when other people in the business are like, that was really good. So that was
every segment of the show is certainly not going to be perfect. In fact, if you listen, you know that they're often far from perfect. But that hour-long interview, I thought, was just pretty fantastic in terms of putting real information, real data, real analysis in front of all of you. And it's the exact opposite of what this imbecile Cori Bush, congresswoman, is doing right now. If you haven't heard these clips, she is the one who was on the steps of the Capitol. She has been in favor of defunding the police. On July 4th, she said America was an awful, racist country. You need to hear this. This is an interview with CBS News. Here is Congresswoman Cori Bush.
And we're also talking about the same exact people who say horrible things about me, who lie to get to build up their base. And then because they lie about me, I receive death threats. Mm. Now, they don't address the fact that I receive death threats after they go on air and say horrible things about me. But then they want to say, oh, but she needs private security. I have private security because my body is worth being on this planet right now. I have private security because they, the white supremacist, racist narrative that they drive into this country, the fact that they don't care that this black woman that has put her life on the line, they can't match my energy, first of all. This black woman who puts her life on the line, they don't care that that I could be taken out of here. They actually probably are okay with that.
I want my body to stay on this earth, too.
Yeah, I think so everybody's in favor of their body on the earth.
I can understand that part of it for sure. Clay, here's the issue with Cori, but at a number of levels, there are questions that this raises. One is, so there are still people, because Democrats will pretend like this is not the case, there are still elected officials who say that they mean defund the police. That it's not some slogan that they use to get attention or anything else. They actually mean defund the police, and they cling to that, even though we've had now over a year of real numbers in every major American city showing that when you not only defund police as a matter of finances, but you refuse to continue to give law enforcement the backing they need to do their jobs appropriately, when law enforcement feels like at any point in time they could risk their careers, perhaps even their freedom, for having to make a difficult but good faith decision, it results in very bad things happening, more murders, more shootings, more violent crime in major cities. But then also this idea that Cori Bush is special because she says she's under so much threat. I think that a very small percentage of the country knows who Congresswoman Cori Bush is.
Minuscule. How many white supremacists? Like, let's pretend that this is the boogeyman, right? Let's pretend this reminds me a little bit of Jussie Smollett, right? And to your credit and my credit, we were some of the people who said, come on, this doesn't pass the smell test, right? Like, nobody knows.
I did a podcast titled Jussie Smollett is Lying before the footage came out of the two guys buying the rope and and the stuff in the store. So, yeah.
Yeah, you were on the very front edge of this is stupid. Like, even when this story happened, I remember turning to my wife and saying, no white supremacists sit around and watch Empire. First of all, let's start here. Second, if they do watch Empire, they certainly don't know who Jussie Smollett is, and they certainly don't know that he's racist. Like, all of these things. Cori Bush, let me be clear about this. If you are one of these people who's running around on social media making death threats or threatening violence, I do think you should be prosecuted, because we have to set the precedent that online life should be treated in some way similarly to real life. Like, you can't just walk
it
up
is
to
illegal.
Like,
I mean, it is illegal to threaten to kill somebody. And it should be, by the way.
And you should be prosecuted.
I mean, I even also always say that anybody who wishes harm on someone they've never met, who really does, in any capacity, people that celebrate when someone dies or when someone they disagree with gets cancer, to me, it's a sign of a deep, not only moral failing, but emotional and psychological instability. Like, I actually worry about the fitness to handle day-to-day life of anybody who goes, oh, you know, this politician or this pundit or whatever just died or has cancer or you know, had a heart attack. So I'm going to celebrate that online. Those people, they're sick in the head.
And you should be prosecuted if you threaten to kill someone. But there is a difference between random losers on Twitter or wherever sending a message and someone actually putting you in danger such that you need to have a security detail.
I mean, she referred to attempts on her life, by the way, which, I mean, that's a very specific thing. I mean, that's someone actually I am not aware of that having happened. If that has happened, we should know about it. That would be a major news story because it would be an attempt on the life of a federal official, a member of Congress. We should know. But, Clay, I think we all know what's really going on here, which is that she's coming up with some story to try to make it seem like what's not happening here is, and it is what is happening, is you have another person who wants to make sure they feel safe with resources put around them, men with guns and women, to protect them, while the rest of American society in poor neighborhoods that have higher crime rates are supposed to say, yeah, but this is all for the cause. You know, we're all suffering the crime. By the way, you look at minority communities in cities like Detroit, specifically when they're polled, and they completely reject this crap. This is top down from the elites. No matter what, you know, ethnicity you come from, you want you, your family, your communities to be safe. It's this mentality of the elites and the activists that somehow dispenses with this because it makes them feel good when they go on TV. It's virtue signaling.
You want more cops. You want more cops if you are a minority living in an inner city neighborhood. That's what all the numbers reflect. Now, so that was Cori Bush talking about how, again, the unbelievable quote, I have private security because my body is worth being on this planet right now. Ostensibly, what she's saying is other people's bodies are not because they can't afford their own private
security. I think your body is worth being on this planet.
Thank you. I feel the same about you and most of our listeners, maybe even all of them. Let's go in. Here she is furthermore saying, well, yes, we need to defund the police, but she needs private security because would she rather they die?
And defunding the police has to happen. We need to defund the police and put that money into social safety nets because we're trying to save lives. What other occupation can do work that's out of their scope and still be propped up to do work that's out of their scope? As a nurse, I can't be the surgeon too. You don't want me being your surgeon and I'm the nurse. At what point do we pay police to be social workers? Nah, we don't. How do they get to be social workers? So what I'm saying is you do your job. Let the people who have gone to school with a particular skill set do theirs. Neither defunding the police and being able to have security because those same folks are causing it. It's two totally different things.
If I'm going to take her analogy and play it out a little bit, which, yeah. And by the way, Nancy Pelosi heaping praise upon Cori Bush being a hero for her protest, sleeping out on the steps of the Capitol, all over social media, MSNBC. Oh, my gosh, Cori Bush is amazing. What she's actually advocating for, if we're going to take her, I'm a nurse, I'm not the surgeon. Okay, fair enough. The people that want to defund the police are saying, they're walking to the hospital and they're saying, you know, sometimes surgeons, Clay, make mistakes and they cut where they shouldn't and somebody could bleed out on the table. So let's fire all the surgeons and let the nurses handle whatever comes afterwards. That's what defund the police would actually be. But if we're going to take her analogy to its logical conclusion, we can see how illogical and absurd the whole thing is. But I think it's important we all know this has not been abandoned.
It's not they have not repudiated do it by itself. I mean, first of all, she isn't I don't know what percentage of Congress men and women are truly idiots. I'm very confident that
more than zero.
Bush is truly, yeah, it's more than zero. And by the way, Democrats and Republicans, right? There are dumb people on both parties. Cori Bush is like that analogy, Buck. You're even being, I think, too generous to her. That would be like not letting the nurse, because at least a nurse has some training in how to respond to, let's say, a gunshot wound. It would be like, hey, hospitals made mistakes. Let's eliminate all the hospitals and everybody just go to a random house when you need a doctor and let whoever's there treat you. They'll do as good of a job, right? I mean, that because that's when you defund the police, you're trying to sweep them all off the streets and do away with them completely. We still have another cut from her that is even dumber. I'm telling you, you're going to be blown away by what else she said. This is all one interview. But first, Buck, what you got for
us? We've also got Senator Marsha Blackburn joining us in just a few minutes here to talk about what's going on with COVID at the border, the budget, all of that stuff. And we'll be getting into it. Also, the Democrats are exploiting the deaths of some police officers.
No way.
Suicides. Yeah, suicides of cops that they say are directly related to the insurrection. We'll get into that probably around the third hour. One of the many things we talk about when it comes to gold is protection. Protection is important for your portfolio, but the greatest satisfaction that I've had in buying gold is when that first package from Oxford Gold arrived at my home here in New York. I mean, it was like Christmas morning. I invested, and then I actually got to hold that investment in my hands, real gold. My partners at Oxford Gold Group have precious metals that can be delivered to your home. There's nothing like real gold on your doorstep. Now, when I open my safe, I have my passport, my home protection, and real gold from the Oxford Gold Group. If you think buying real gold is complicated, my friends at Oxford Gold Group are who you need to call. They'll explain everything to you. Having real gold delivered to your home or having real gold as part of your IRA is just a phone call away with Oxford Gold. Call them at 833-404-GOLD and learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. Call Oxford Gold at 833-404-GOLD. 404-GOLD, 833-404-GOLD.
Radio listeners pay far greater attention. The connection, it's unbreakable.
From the DNA of America's anchorman, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. It is Open Line Friday, of course, so we do want you to start lighting them up. Whatever you feel like we need to get to, if you got thoughts from earlier in the week or from today or just for the future, if you want to, you know, bet a plate of pasta with me on whether Cuomo lasts to the end of the year or not, I'm probably going to have to buy my friend Joe Borelli, the councilman from Staten Island.
He might win that one.
Well, I mean, I think he owes me because Cuomo's not resigning, because that's definitely not happening. And I've been saying that for a year. But I'm not giving up yet on Cuomo being a slippery son of a gun. We'll see.
I was wondering what word you were going
to
use there.
Yeah, I had to come up with something.
Yeah.
But 800-282-2882 on the lines. What do you think about everything we're getting into today? And we just have one more Cori Bush. Now, she's a member of Congress, and she just had a big win with the...
They listened to this woman.
They listened to this woman. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, she just had a big win. She moved the Democrat Party to rally behind the extension of the eviction moratorium. Unconstitutional? Yes. Marxist? Yes. But, you know, she got her way. So she's in the news this week for that reason, but also she's got private security and she's a very vocal defund the police person. And here's the kind of stuff that she says about it.
They would rather I die. You would rather me die? Is that what you want to see? You want to see me die? You know, because that could be the alternative. So either I spent $70,000 on private security over the last few months, and I'm here standing now and able to speak, able to help save 11 million people from being evicted, or I could possibly have a death attempt on my life.
Now this is the new standard we're going to set. First of all, of course, no one wishes any harm on any member of Congress or any politician, any public figure who has, you know, any person with any decency, morality,
we're all
or honestly,
anti-murder. Let's just be straightforward and clear. No one is in favor of untimely death by violent measures. Anyone who is in favor of murder, but.
I mean, we're not afraid to upset that, you know, the constituency out there that does not respect human life. OK,
yes,
we stand firmly and strongly against them in every way we possibly can. But this is just such a dishonest way of setting up a debate. It's a way, you know, it's saying, oh, you know, look at me. I'm under threat. And therefore it's not. Look, let's get down to what this really is. It's not hypocritical that I pay for private security.
That's
she's
right.
saying because I need it so badly. Well, you know. A lot of people would like to have, it's not even just a police issue. Democrats don't want you to be able to arm yourself. I mean, if I was living right now and I live in Midtown Manhattan, which does actually have some crime issues these days. But if you gave me the choice right now between a 20% increase in police presence in where I live or the ability to conceal carry, not even close, not even a second's hesitation. I'd want to be able to conceal carry. Of course, I live in New York and I'm not super fancy and rich, so I'm not allowed to conceal carry. But that's, if you gave me my, you know, if I had my druthers, that would be the move. Democrats want to prevent you from doing that, and they want to prevent you from having police to protect your neighborhood.
Yeah, I would look, she is using taxpayer dollars while arguing that we should not be supporting and funding police. She is using our taxpayer dollars to pay private security guards to protect her, and she doesn't see how that is hypocritical. And again, I don't want violence to happen to anyone, but she is not in extreme danger because most people have no idea who she is, right? I mean, there are, I would say, what do you think, 50 or 60 politicians maybe that are famous enough where if they were on your airplane flight, you'd be like, oh, that person's really famous.
Yeah, but you could also, you can be, and this happens all the time, unfortunately, in this country, you know, you can be under threat from, you know, an abuser, a stalker, a lunatic, yes, just as a normal person. You know, you don't have to be famous.
Her constituents are under danger because of her choices.
But this is the whole point. And so, you know, they don't want to have to deal with the fact that we can all see the hypocrisy involved here. And that the Democrats, remember when a few months ago, it was like two or three months ago, maybe, they were starting to say that, actually, I have no concept of time anymore because it feels like it all blurs together. But they were saying, the Democrats this year were saying that they were the ones who wanted to fund the police.
That's right.
And that Republicans wanted to defund. That's how obvious it is to everybody else. But look, the activist fringe of the Democrat Party, while maybe not large in number, is large in influence, even at the level of Pelosi, Biden, and Schumer. So we can't ignore the craziness that they say. If you got thoughts on schools, masking, the talk with Berenson yesterday,
all of that and more. Plus, we got Marsha Blackburn coming
up right now. But light up those lines, 800-282-2882, because this is Open Line Friday. Go to clayandbuck.com for stories that we're putting up here on the show talking about. And we got Marsha Blackburn from Clay's home state of Tennessee. She's great on the border issue. We'll talk to her about that, as well as what's going to happen here with this Senate budget package. If it does go through as expected, it's going to be trillions of dollars. Inflation's coming. Other things got snuck into it.
I was trying to start things good, Buck. And now I know. This
Clay is the happy guy today, but I'm keeping it real. What can I tell you? We'll be back with Marsha Blackburn in a few.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.